And we're dealing with the issue of procrastination. And the psalmist simply writes, when you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. And from the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes means the preacher, and Ecclesiastes, like the Proverbs, are simple aphorisms of faith and hope. And this one says, I will hasten and not delay to obey your every command. This is the word of the Lord. My last year of college, and I had started at a religious college where we were all fairly religious. By the time I moved on to a state university, none of us were fairly religious, although I was called the Reverend at the time. But I lived in a zoo house. It was called the Zoo House, so named because we didn't get much done, except we did a lot of partying, at least others did a lot of partying. And maybe I blessed the parties in some ways, knowing that I was going to be a minister. They asked for some sort of, if not papal blessing, some sort of reverential blessing to the festivities that were about to take place. But at the end of every semester, everyone had pretty much done nothing all semester except partying, so that when exam time came, there was a flurry of activity. I remember one fellow named Gordon, we called him Gordo, who did very well once he got work and got married, but I remember him watching just a series of Westerns and Julia Child shows throughout the semester. He never attended classes, and most of my colleagues there never attended classes as well. But at the end of the semester, there was this kind of great, flurry is the wrong word, a kind of frenetic energy to try to get things done that needed to get done. And by and large, everyone was kind of taking a lot of no-dos, drinking a lot of coffee, and drinking a lot of Coca-Cola. And that got them through, and then there was a great collective crash. I'm not sure that's the way to live life, although again, they've done well. But it does illustrate the idea of procrastination. We put off what we don't want to do. And the good news, I think, of the gospel, and the good news we need to hear is that we're all procrastinators. If you're not, please raise your hand. I know what you're saying. You're saying, well, I would raise my hand, but I'm procrastinating right now. I really don't want to raise my hand. But I think that's good news, that we're all made of the same human stuff, you know, and procrastinating is a part of life, and some people have found something good in it. There are certain researchers who say, you know, procrastinators at least are willing to look at issues perhaps more than people who kind of forge ahead without procrastinating. Well, I'm not sure whether the data is all in, but I know the procrastinating often we do is not the best kind. You know, we have an employer, and the employer demands a few things, and we try to get done the things we like to get done and procrastinate and don't do the things that our employer wants us to do, or we try to work around it in some way, shape, or form. We have a family member who is acting out, and we should say something to restore peace or harmony in some way, but we refuse to do that because we don't want to hurt feelings, or we don't want to be in conflict. Strife is not something we like or take to normally. We put financial issues perhaps on a back burner. We should be dealing with our credit card, and instead we just put it aside and maybe buy a little more to feel good about ourselves and say, well, we'll deal with credit card issues later. Or social issues, you know, we want to find a new friend, but we're afraid that we might might get rejected, and that it's better not to do anything and to isolate ourselves than to make the effort to find a friend. And the one I think that I see so much as a pastor, of course, is that when we know that there is something wrong with us, or when we sense there is something wrong with us, an illness or a toothache, we are loath to call the physician or the dentist. And when someone volunteers and says, "I'll call that person for you," we say, "I'll get to it later, tomorrow, a week from now, a year from now, whatever." So, you know, the good news is that we're all procrastinators. The bad news is that often we don't recognize it. Often we don't recognize it. And just a simple thing, I was dealing with a husband and wife who had some marital issues, but nothing major, nothing big. And the wife said, "You know, I don't understand it. I just don't understand it, because he's always late to dinner. You know, I call and I call, and he's always late to dinner." And I thought, I have nothing to lose whatsoever. And I said to her, "Does he like your cooking?" And I could see him nodding affirmatively, "No, I don't like her cooking." And that was the issue. It wasn't a big issue, but it was causing a big problem. So they had enough money. I said, "Well, two things you need to do. She needs to take cooking courses, or you need to take cooking courses to relieve her of the responsibility in the kitchen. And if you have the money, why don't you go out to a restaurant you both like?" And they thought, "That's a good idea. Why didn't we think of that sooner?" Well, procrastination is something that kind of, I think, gets rid of good common sense. And as you can see, often what happens is that if we procrastinate, you know, molehills become mountains. If we procrastinate, we begin to lose confidence in our ability to do things. And like I said, sometimes we're not sure if we're procrastinating, but let me give you a clue. The word procrastinate and excuse goes hand in hand. Let me say that again. The word procrastinate and excuse goes hand in hand. So Jesus has that scene where this eager beaver says, "Lord, I want to follow you wherever you go. I want to follow you. I'm going to be your best disciple. But first I have to go bury my father." And that was certainly a legitimate excuse. And what does Jesus say in his blunt way? "Let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me." Because I think Jesus had keen psychological understanding, and Jesus understood that we can take anything and make an excuse out of it so that we don't have to deal with the important issues in our lives. We can make an excuse out of anything so that we don't have to deal with what Jesus Christ is calling us to deal with, what life is calling us to deal with, and what personal responsibility is calling us to deal with. We'll just go and metaphorically bury our father. And we do that in a variety of ways. Excuse making, I hear it all the time. God calls me to do something that's really important in life. God calls me to use all my gifts to help someone else. God calls me to make a difference in my family, in my neighborhood, in my community. But you see, I can't. I can't. Why? Well, if you're like Moses, Moses says, "Well, I can't because I can't speak well." If you're like Jeremiah, Jeremiah says, "I can't because I'm too young." If you're like you and me, often the excuses are a little more subtle, but they may be more effective, at least for us. We say, "I can't do it because I had a rough childhood." How many of you have heard that? "I'd do it. I'd be happy to, but you don't know, God, what rough childhood I had. My mom rocked me, and she used big rocks." That was somewhat of a joke. You know, my my father was a brute. My siblings did not understand me. You know, I have all sorts of excuses in childhood, or I had a rough teenage life, you know. My life was really rough as a teenager. No wonder I can't do anything. And you know, we can excuse ourselves throughout our lives, and what do? We miss life. You know, when Jesus says in the Gospels that I have come to bring you joy, I have come to bring you abundant life, Jesus means that. But we can excuse the life that God has called us to live. We can excuse that away by recounting all our troubles. And whenever someone says that, you know, I want to say to them, I can always find someone who's worse off than you are. I remember my mentor named Dr. Hageman at New Brunswick Seminary. He's gone to glory now. But he had a student who said, you know, I've gotten all A's, but I had a rough day. There was some turmoil in my family, and I only got a B in this course. And I feel so badly. I got a B. I'm all A's. What am I going to do, Dr. Hageman? Dr. Hageman said, what I want you to do is to take a tack, put it on a chair, and sit on it. That's what I want you to do. You know, we're called by Jesus Christ to have a no-excuse way of living. You know, not to make excuses for ourselves. And indeed, to carry that a little further, not to make excuses for other people. And when we look at Jesus, we realize that he never procrastinated, except one occasion. Jesus procrastinated in John 11 because when Lazarus was dying, Jesus kind of dawdled for 3 days. And I think the issue was that Jesus wanted Lazarus to be dead as a doornail so that the miracle of raising him from the dead could come about. Otherwise, with that exception, that had theological warrant certainly, Jesus never procrastinated. He said, today I do this, tomorrow I do this, and the third day I'm in Jerusalem. And when you look at the Gospel of Mark, you realize too that whenever need appeared of itself, even if it seemed to be overwhelming, and even our Lord in his humanity when he was tired out, nevertheless, he took care of business. At the moment. On the moment. And you know, when we deal with our lives and we see a problem, in order for it not to be, Jasmine, how are you doing? Do you want to come up here and help me preach? I'm sure she has some good things to say. But you know, the thing is that Jesus did not let things go. And if you want more time for yourself, if you want more quality time for yourself, deal with the problem whilst it's still a molehill before it becomes a mountain. Once you do that, then I want you to think of all the good free time you're going to have after that until the next problem arises. But, you know, even in small things, Peter Drucker, some of you who have been in business or in management, had a theory, and I like this. He said, whenever mail crosses my desk, I deal with the issue immediately. I either do something with the mail, or I toss it, or I give it to my secretary, or whatever. But I don't ever let the mail pile up. And I think Jesus would kind of go along with Drucker in that way. You know, don't let stuff pile up. Deal with it immediately. And often the reason I think we don't deal with stuff immediately and we procrastinate, one of the reasons is that I think we want to say to God, look, you take care of it. You just do it. I give you all responsibility. And my sense is that God calls us to use the gifts that God has given us until we reach a point when we can't do it. And then we lift up our hands and say, Lord, I've done my best. I expect that you'll take care of everything. And you'll finish the job that I've tried to complete. But often the issue of procrastination is the issue is that we don't have confidence in ourselves. Or we don't have faith enough to believe that God walks with us every step of the way. And I guess I want to say to us you know, I want you to just memorize these verses in your heart and in your mind. Paul says in Romans 8, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and called us to his purpose. We are more than conquerors. Whenever you get into a rough situation, you just think of that verse. I am more than a conqueror because Jesus Christ walks with me. And the other verse I love is, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. That's Paul writing to the Philippian congregation. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. So when you come to an aspect in your work, in your job, and it just seems overwhelming, you say, I'm more than a conqueror, Lord. I can manage this problem. I can tackle it, and it's going to be fine. When a loved one is very sick, listen to me here. This is a difficult issue. When a loved one is very sick, you can either disclose information which that loved one needs, or you can procrastinate. And when the loved one needs to hear what the diagnosis is, whatever it is, just remember, you are more than a conqueror through him who loved you. When a child, a grandchild, someone you love needs to be disciplined, and you know you want to procrastinate, you want to just push it on a back burner, you just say to yourself, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. And when you look at yourself, maybe you have a problem with drugs or alcohol. You know, maybe you have a problem with getting along with people, and you know that you need to fix it right now. You just say, I'm more than a conqueror. And the best way I think we can get leverage on ourselves is not only to follow the example of Jesus Christ, but also to ask ourselves this question. In the light of Jesus, who acted, you know, dealt with problems as they occurred, I want us to ask ourselves this question. If we procrastinate about this problem, what is our life going to be like in a year? If we procrastinate about this problem, what is our life going to be like in 5 years? If we do nothing about this issue, what is our life going to be like in 10 or 15 years if we're graceful enough to live that long? Do you see what I'm saying? Try to picture what your life will be like if you don't address the issues in the present tense that God wants you to address. Keep that question in mind and know that you can do all things through the power of him who loves you more than you love yourself. Amen? Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Please greet one another this morning.